Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today, the wonderful, amazing, and hilarious Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, Ben. I'm doing great today. Or shall I say, great?
Comment allez-vous?
Bonjour. Alors, you?
Oui, oui. It is Real Girlfriends in Paris Day. We're on episode 3. We have no recap of episode 2 because, as we said last week, there was like episode 1 and 2 aired together and we didn't realize. And so we are like not going to kill ourselves for episode 2. All you really need to know about episode 2 is that Margot basically was storing her groceries out on her windowsill because her refrigerator was allegedly broken. And then Anya came in and flipped a switch, the circuit box, and fixed your fridge. That's the long and the short of it.
We watched it, which is more than we can say for you guys, because I saw on Bravo Ratings the Twitter account, which I love. So thank you for being there. It's a great resource. But they tweeted out the ratings for episode 2, and it was like
0.19.
Did
people realize? Maybe they didn't realize.
More people saw the version of Into the Woods I was in high school. Okay, more people saw that at the El Paso UTEP dinner theater. So, guys,
well, it is possible that people just didn't realize that second episode was on. We didn't even realize it was on. So it is possible, even if they, because a lot of people, I don't know. It's also very possible people just didn't care. But I have to say, this show is growing on me every episode. Like, this episode, I actually really liked. I think this is a slow burn show. First of all, I'm not gonna lie, I just love the scenery. It's like the most basic thing, but like when they're shooting a scene and the Eiffel Tower is just in the background, I'm kind of a sucker for it. I mean, maybe that's just the old French club in me coming out. But I just visuals, I like it. But this is the sort of show I like where it's built on passive aggressive moments and they're sort of fleeting, but you sort of live for them. And I'm kind of into it. Like, I love
it. Because it's still a very American show. You know, yeah. They're American girls. It's just in France. So it's like you get the backdrop, but you also get to relive your stupid 20s, mid 20s, you know?
Yeah.
And I see myself in a lot of these girls.
Yeah, like you can feel the passive aggression starting to, get up to a slow simmer. And I'm just like, ooh, I'm really hopeful it's just going to keep building, which was exactly what happened on Gallery Girls. Gallery Girls were like, what is this sort of bland show? And then by the end, they were like, oh my God, I'm obsessed. So like, I'm sort of in that mindset. Yeah. What about you?
I feel the same way. I mean, I really liked it. I'm not obsessed yet, but I really liked it. And I find myself thinking about it after and kind of laughing. I mean, it just does remind me of being that young and saying things like, oh my God, you guys, I love cheese. Oh my God, I love cheese too.
Oh my God.
You're like, wow, I'm like such an adult for liking cheese,
I know.
I'm so impressed with myself.
I'm the cheese master. Honestly, I would just be happy if this show were tense meetings at Chloe Collette, because like that was so thrilling for me, this passive aggressive, cheery team meeting that they had at Victoria's workplace. I was like, please just make every week, just give me an hour of this. Just like, it's like, we're going to the meeting to watch this woman, Jen, be perky, but rageful at the same time. Oh, it was the best thing I've ever seen.
It was, and it's crazy how much it copies Emily in Paris, too.
It really does.
That set, that Chloe Collette set, they have even the same flooring as they do in Emily in Paris, and the, it's just so similar, all
even
of
the
it.
Storylines.
The storyline's the same.
There's an actual Emily on this show, and she actually goes to, an influencer event, which is literally something that happened in season one when all those influencers showed up. You know, like that was like they're just copying it, and it's working for me.
It's working for me too. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. So, also the boom, 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 bajuridu, or whatever that is. I love it every time.
Yeah. And on the previous leads for this episode, I was like, uh-oh, something's going to go down because, like, they spent half the time focusing on Yoan. They're like, this is Yoan. Yoan's a fashion influencer. And then it's like Yoan being like, that looks good on you. And then she's like, I hate you. Or whatever it was. It was just, like, a lot of Yoan. So I was like, oh, this is going to be a good episode.
Yes, Yoan's about to become a villain, a villain star of this show. This episode was very much about using people. And I thought it was very funny that that's his storyline, but that's also kind of Margot's storyline, because one thing that happened last week, well, the first week she met with her dad, and she's like, I just don't, like, do anything, Dad. And I'm like, you know, it's disappointing that I, like, don't work, about, like, I'm really trying. I want to be like my brother Milo. Like, he's a photographer of, like, all these famous, like, models. Like, he's done great for himself. And now her business idea is to open a agency where he can represent, guess who, all the people that Mark, you know, that this kid's shooting. You know, she's just trying to, like, go siphon off all of his business for her own success, you know. So it's a very usery episode. I liked it.
Yeah, unfortunately for Margot, she is going to realize that she will have to leave her apartment at some point, because she just sits there at the end, like, she sits there on, like, her dog urine soaked sofa and just tells people, I just start things and don't finish. I always have ideas. But that's all they are, ideas. So the episode opens with Trixie Monocle singing this week's signature song, Je la femme, je la femme, je la femme, je la femme, je la femme,
je la femme. So that means I'm a girl, right?
I think, I
love that shit. I think that because our Trixie Monocle song is, I'm a girl. I'm a girl. And I think this is the French version. It's like, la femme, la femme, la femme, la femme, la femme, la femme.
Yeah, that's all it is. So Victoria's at work just, like, bossing people around. And so her boss is there, Jen. And she's having a passive-aggressive exchange with Jen. And Victoria is, like, she's, like, asking about things. And Jen is saying, like, I want to do the box skirt. And Victoria's like, okay, so you got the box skirt. So what about this? What about, like, the waistline? Like, or where, like, I guess she's trying to figure out where she sees something.
She's saying,
going.
Do you want to do it with, like, a belt? Or Victoria says, do you want to do it with, like, a belt or a tie? And she's like, we're going to do it with chain belts, I thought. She goes, oh, so like a chain belt then. Yeah, a chain belt. And she's got that super tight smile, like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
I know.
For not getting chain belts.
And Jen is like, every time it's so funny that smile you have there, Victoria, because every time I see you, like, you have a certain smile, and it reminds me of the very first day I met you, when I was like, who is this privileged girl from Texas who thinks she knows about fashion? That smile is hilarious, Victoria.
Oh my God, no, not that smile. Oh, well, I don't know what smile you mean. This one? No, not that smile. The other one. No, not that one. The other one. No, try another one. No, that one, you look like a jack-o'-lantern. Okay, try another one. Okay, now you look up like one of those little wind-up teeth clattering things in horror movies. Okay, you know what? Don't smile ever again. Okay, that's it. That's a smile. That's it.
Oh, wait, you just switched to a different... Oh, no, now you're just giving me the smile that you give when you're really proud of something you've designed, and I'm like, it looks like a tarp with sleeves. That's that smile you're giving me right now. Go back to the other one.
Well, guess what I have to say about that. La femme, la femme, la femme, la femme. So now Aja is doing her phone cam thing, because this girl is going to get as much footage as she can on this show. And so she does everything on her phone cam, and it kills me.
Everything.
So she's walking down the street on her phone cam, and she's like, okay, all right. So I prefer the French metro system to the New York one. You know why? Because every city, like, has different, like, fonts and, like, different, like, vibes. So, like, different stations have, like, different fonts. So, like, look at that one. That's, like, Gothic, but not, like, all of them are like that. Like, it depends on where you live and what font you... She just falls over.
I know. She's like, I don't actually use the metro because I got no service down there and I can't do my self-cam. So I just walk the same path as the train till I get to another metro stop.
I'll only board at stations with good font.
I know. I like you, when she says she likes the French metro more than the New York one, I've thought she's like, oh, because the trains run better, they're cleaner, it's faster. She's like, no, because the font's good. The font. She's like, it's got a gothic font. I'm like, lady.
That's not a gothic font.
I was like, okay, this is going to sound really nerdy here, guys. I apologize, but this has to be said. The French metro stations are known famously as being examples of art, the Art Nouveau movement, and it's literally not. Like, so the fact that she says it's a gothic font when it's like famously Art Nouveau, and I'm like, I'm not saying like, oh, everyone has to know it's Art Nouveau, but if you're in France praying to be like, this is what's great about the metro stations, and you're like, look at the gothic font, and not being like, look at this Art Nouveau font, I'm like, listen, that's an issue for me.
This is why you shouldn't let people self-produce. You see, they come up with bad font segments.
Watch, I'm going to get an email being like, actually, while the metro station is overall Art Nouveau, the font itself is gothic. And I'll be like, sorry, guys. Hey, last week I had this whole rant about Art Nouveau, and it's really, the font is gothic. I apologize.
That's why it's just good to be proudly ignorant sometimes, you know? I feel like when you're expected to be wrong, people don't really care that you're wrong constantly. Thanks, everybody. So then her awkward phone shot scene is juxtaposed with Emily's, who's this totally glam, of course. She's on her phone segment now, and she's got really beautiful, newly curled hair. She's like fresh. Mm-hmm. You can tell she's just sprayed on a little Bed Bath and Body Works belly on, and she's like, so I've just gotten ready for my first day ever at Sonia Raquel. I'm gonna meet people, network, I'm gonna like learn stuff, and like I decided to wear a little blazer, so see you there, bye. You don't see her huffing down the street.
And I'm like, also, that famously is not a blazer, because in Paris, they're, no, I'm just kidding. But
and also this girl, I noticed that Emily, because Emily hasn't talked all that much, but she talks a lot more in this episode, and her mouth is all over the place when she talks. It's so funny. It's like she's making funny faces when she talks, like one lip's up to the right, the other one's down to the left, and then it like changes all over the place while she's talking. So cute.
So now we see Casey going, she's getting an espresso, and she's meeting Anya like by the Seine with the like, not overlooking the Eiffel Tower, but the Eiffel Tower's there. And Anya's like, I just got off work, basically, and I took clients who were dying to see the Eiffel Tower. I was like, you don't need to see it. I said, don't go up. The only way to go up is if you reserve at the fancy restaurant. Anyway, that's my spiel. Tell me what's going on with you, Casey.
And she goes, oh, yeah, I mean, of course, you don't want to go up that, like, private elevator. I totally know what you're talking about. Yeah, because otherwise, you know what I mean? She, yeah, because, like, otherwise, like, who wants to, like, go up the stairs? Not me. Not in these shoes, am I right?
Casey is acting like she just murdered someone and is trying to play it cool. Casey, you have blood all over your hands. Oh, this is just for my arts and craft projects. I do it with my students. It's like a game. It's actually a video game. I'm pitching a video game so that we can play it and teach French at the same time. I'm totally chill. I'm totally chill right now.
So what's been going on with you? And she's like, well, you know, like I work in the morning, and then when I'm done with that work, like I work in the afternoon. Like basically in the morning I teach, and then in the afternoon I teach. And like I was totally not free to kill that, you know, that student that was found in the park because I was at my third job. Oh, that was fun. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of working.
How do you say alibi in French? Just wondering. So she's saying how she's having issues with like her visa. And like basically she's a tourist right now. And she's only allowed to have 90 days. And she goes, well, you know, the thing is I don't have, like I'm looking for a teaching job, but I don't have, I mean, I have teaching jobs. I have teaching gigs, but like I don't have the teaching job that would give me a visa to let me stay throughout the school year. So I'm just going to be, I have 2 months. Like I've only got a couple of months here, like literally 2 months, like one, two, like one, two. And then I'm like literally like kicked out of Europe. So I gotta find something. Oh, hold on 1 second. I'm getting a phone call. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's just my turn to play something in my Switch. Let me just pull it out of my bra here.
And when does your time run out before you're kicked back to America, the sad country? Oh, you know what you should do? Tick tock, tick tock. I'm sorry. Am I making you nervous? Tick tock, tick tock. Okay, you know, you should try the entrepreneur visa. And that's not very easy to get, which is why I suggested it in a really snotty tone, just to watch your eyes go crazy. You okay? She goes, oh my God, that does not sound easy. That does not sound easy. Yeah, you really have to go in with like examples of what you're going to offer. Brochures, you know, your looks, your, you know, that coat's cute. Maybe take a picture of that coat. You know, like me, I have like a whole booklet of artworks and I've just photoshopped myself standing in front of them with my finger pointed up. And then I say inspirational sayings, you know, or like I have a picture of the Michelangelo touching fingers and I say, not too close. It's COVID time. Get it, everybody. And then they laugh in their French way. And, you know, now I'm a licensed tour person. So.
Casey's like, I think the nerves are going to actually be, it's good because the nerves are going to make me sit down and say like, okay, I got to email boss. And I, and then after that, I'm going to like, after I email him, I'm going to rearrange the desktop of my computer. And then I do have to clean up my room too. It was really messy. We didn't talk about that, but last week, my room was really messy, but before I do that though, I'm going to go to the supermarket and I'm going to buy something to eat. I'm going to cook dinners for myself and they'll let me stay in the country if I make dinner, right?
Okay, stop. You have to take a breath because you talk really fast. So please stop that. It's making me very, very nervous.
Okay. And she's wearing a dress that looks like it has meatballs or yarn balls. Yarn meatballs, yes, I don't know. Yarn. And like a little fake fur and a headband, like a crazy headband, and these like thrift store old lady earrings. And then she's got rings over her gloves. She's like a little girl playing dress up in Paris. And really it's working for me.
I know, totally I can't believe how much I like her. Yeah. She's like, you know what? It's not the easiest thing for an American to pack up and move to Paris like Carrie or Emily or Audrey or really me, honestly. And it's like cutting between her explaining this process and then Casey talking about how she's trying to get this appointment with a prefecture. And Anya's like, well, did you request one? You know, you can't get one if you don't request one. And Casey's like, I haven't really requested one. And Anya's like, well, in conclusion, you need to move here quickly and be prepared because Casey is not prepared right now. And I am very nervous for her.
And actually, she did have an appointment. She just didn't go. She's like, yeah, I had one last week, but like things got crazy. So I moved it around. She goes, yeah, you don't do that. Okay. And she says something like, yeah, well, I mean, like, if I miss it again, I guess I'll just jump in this river. I'm just going to jump in the river and die. She goes, don't die. I won't jump in after you with this dress. This is vintage Veneto yarn meatballs. So,
well, I mean, it's not like I know anything about like people dying by being thrown into rivers. So like, that's a crazy thing for you to say.
I actually didn't say that.
Well, I know you said it in your mind because I definitely didn't do that at all.
Okay, then.
So Emily shows up at work, and you know that you're starting at the bottom when you're the only one who has to wear a mask.
Yeah. Because
that is so lame. It always makes me so upset for the staff at these places that always have to wear the mask and no one else is wearing it. It's like only the person actually doing something has to wear the mask. So she wears it like a typical American. It's under her nose.
I know, of course. And she's just like standing around. And then there's a social media manager there named Jen. And Emily is like, so can you give me an assignment? It's like my first day. I'd like to help out. Like, yeah, because we're setting up for the Sonia Raquel and the iconic Sonia Raquel collection. So I just want an assignment. I just want to make myself useful right now.
Wait, hold on. I need to say this before we get started. It's very important. Bonjour, Emily!
The girl's like, well, I don't really know how to do gift bags. She's, oh my God, I totally know how to do gift bags.
You know, it's one day to have your first day in like an office with no pressure, but it's like another to like have it at this massive event with famous influencers and guests. I mean, I don't even think I know how to do gift bags, but like, whatever, fine.
And so the music is like, dum, dicka, dum, dum, da, shum, sexy, sexy, sexy. And she's doing gift bags.
Yeah,
like, she's making the sexy music, Pana Monocle.
I know, they're like she's making gift bags and like laying out brochures. And then they keep cutting, there's like one woman who keeps scowling at her. They just keep cutting this woman scowling at her like, stupid American, we don't even use brochure. So then, of course, because
she really does walk in acting like the worst American stereotype, you know? She's like, "Allô, bonjour." Oh my God, get past. I love get past. Hi, I'm Emily. Hi, everybody. I'm Emily.
She is. She's like, "Je suis intern. Je suis intern." And someone goes, stagiaire? Is that what you say for intern? Because je suis intern. So then some other lady is like, some other is like, she's like works at Vogue and she's like, "Wow, that's awesome." And the girl's like, intern, intern. She goes, "Oh, moi aussi intern." It's like, it's like her like not even trying to do a French accent, just being like, "Bonjour, je m'appelle Emily."
So funny. And she's like, "Okay, let me give you a tutorial on how to be an American in Paris. This is American. Smile, move one shoulder forward, and like tilt your head back and kind of like pantomime a laugh. Like, ah, okay, this is French. Roll eyes, eye roll." And then they show an example of that lady who hates her guts just sitting in a chair, giving her the dirtiest look.
"I was supposed to do gift bags today. Now look at them. They're stupid, filled with cheeseburgers and pizza. American."
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So she goes, she tells the other girl she's working with, she's like, "You know what? I want to talk to people, but like, I just don't speak French, but who cares? Like, excusez-moi, do you speak English? Because like, I am a big fan of you. I see you on Instagram-o. Okay, yeah. You want to get a picture? Let's get a picture."
Like, oh my God, how are you not fired? You're fired.
I know. This woman's name is Junie Breeze, and she's like a fashion influencer. She's like, "Oh, thank you so much." And Emily is like, "I live in the United States, and now I live here, and now I have an Instagram page that was inspired by you. Take a look. Instagram, your page is just jelly beans and pictures of grass." Yeah.
"You're the popcorn. You're the popcorn jelly belly." And that's then she a compliment. Goes, "You should follow me."
And then Emily, then she has this little monologue. She goes, "You know what? Going into this internship, I had a lot of hesitancy and stress, but I was like, I like a challenge because I'm an American and the only American intern here, and it gives me the motivation to work harder and prove myself." I'm like, work harder and prove yourself? Every shot is her drinking champagne and socializing with people.
I know. Which is why you're taking selfies with guests on your first day.
So then,
"You should autograph my butt. God, I hate working out, don't you? It's a little lumpy, but still, autograph it. I brought a Sharpie. Love you."
"I'm a little teapot, short and stout." Why are you doing that? "I don't know. Thought it'd be fun."
I hear you guys really love American culture.
So then we go to Harry's New York bar because Mathieu is obsessed with Americanism, I guess. And she and Anya is obsessed with Frenchism or whatever you would call it. So she's a Francophile and he's a Mercophile.
Mercophile. So she comes in with her dog. She's like, "I take Zsa Zsa pretty much everywhere. See what I mean?" And she like holds up Zsa Zsa because Zsa Zsa has been, you know, sitting on her lap the whole time. And so she orders a martini with a bunch of olives. And then she orders a hot dog for Zsa Zsa. And Mathieu is there in like a 10-piece suit. And she's like, "Oh, so how was your day, Mathieu?" He's like, "It was fine. I walked around. I apologize for sitting here in my shabby exercise clothing. But it was just a me day."
"I didn't even know you had a 7-piece suit. It actually looks very handsome on you." He's like, "It rained." She goes, "Oh, yeah. It's raining right now. Where's my martini?" "Merci. Merci."
And he's like, "Oh, I didn't tell you. The interview was nice. I had a second interview, and they took a different direction than they were going to take with me. So that was nice to hear today."
"Oh, great. Well, America, when I met him, he was working in watches, the watch industry. Now, not really making them, more like walking around opening boxes in front of rich old men saying, 'A watch?' But now, like, he's really working towards more data-centric focus, and it does not help that we're in a country that's not very open to career shifting."
Yes, because in New York, my favorite waiter left because he got a job on Broadway. You may have heard of him, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Here, my favorite waiter has been here for 40 years and hasn't even written a song or a hit show. Okay, because that's being a waiter is his job, and that's what you're expected to do in Paris.
His resume in New York would be fabulous. Walk her around with her, dog holder, 7-piece suit owner. I'm going to write that down when I get home. Do not let me forget. Merci.
It's just absolutely astounding that in French culture, if you've worked for 10 years in watch retail, that they won't let you have a high-level strategic job at a corporation.
I just love, because he goes, oh, yes, in New York, I think I could find more jobs. And I love that they're kind of with each other for the same reason, but in such vastly different places. Like, he's thinking she's a ticket to America, and she's thinking he's a trip to French luxury. It's cute. It's cute and sad. It's cute and sad.
It's like some weird Gift of the Magi situation. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, she's like, his resume in New York would be fabulous. I mean, look at all these different experiences. He's sold watches. He's fixed watches. He's held watches. I mean, he could be hired by J.P. Morgan tomorrow.
Hey, Matthew, what time is it?
23.
See? He's amazing. So she's like, you know, he has a lot of pressure because we have a very expensive lifestyle that we can't afford. And Matthew, how are we going to finance the wedding? Because I'd really like it to be like Christmas time at the Ritz.
He's like, how about the Hyatt down the street?
She's like, Christmas time at the Ritz, please.
What about le lobster rouge? Is that what it's called?
Red lobster? No. The Ritz.
Old McDonald had on the farm.
No, I don't think so. Ritz. Straight up Ritz.
She goes, I mean, so we go to the Hyatt, but we don't go on vacation. We dress beautifully, but we're funding sample sales and going to Woodbury Common Outlets. And, like, things are not always what they appear, even if they appear very glamorous and in a 12-piece suit. Okay? It's very different.
And if Matthew had a job, it wouldn't be so much pressure. I mean, I can't do art hustling forever. Do you want some hot dog?
Oh, my God. This part. So she's ordered a hot dog. So the hot dog comes, and she offers him some, and he goes, I will take some after Zaza's done. She goes, okay, Zaza, go ahead and eat your hot dog. And the dog eats half the hot dog, and she goes, okay, she's done. You can have some now. Oh, my God. This is so sad.
They're basically two people playing dress up. Try to be fancy, and like they're just like splitting hot dogs with the dog at the restaurant. She's amazing.
I love this, and I love that she's showing it, because, you know, that's, I feel like most of the people on these shows on Bravo are like this. PK and Dorit are like a perfect example from the top of my head, but they're just faking it so hard and just thinking, like, I'm gonna make it. If I just keep faking it, I'm gonna make it. But they don't really show the faking it part, you know? And I like that she's like,
oh no, we're faking it.
I love that she's like, yeah, we just love dressing up. And maybe someday we'll actually get to have this lifestyle that we pretend to have.
Yeah, you know, shockingly it's like, rooting for Anya.
Yeah, it's like Renfair enthusiasts just praying for the day for time travel. Like, we're just gonna keep doing this until we can go back to 1503. So
let's go to Le Cavalier Bleu.
Oui.
Cavalier.
It's gonna go to Le Casey's apartment.
So it's a Casey's apartment. She's cleaned up a little bit because Yoan's coming over, and she just knows if Yoan comes over and sees like a sock on the floor, he'll be like, who are you, you stupid pig?
He's coming back, this is gross. So he comes over and he's like, oh, hello, good to see you. You look so beautiful. You are so fabulous. And then she's showing him some clothes, and she's like, I think this one's cute. What do you think? He's like, yeah, well, I brought you some Chloe Colette pieces from a new collection. And she's like, Chloe Colette? Yeah, I just got them from work. I was like, oh, this guy.
I was like, something's going wrong here.
He just stole some shit from Chloe Colette.
I was like, something is going to be bad here. He was in the previews. He was in the previouslys, and now he's this is something weird here. And Casey tells us, I mean, it's not going to be a problem if Yohan styles for me for fun one time. I mean, I don't think Victoria's going to care. And you're like, oh, shit. Oh, I love where this is going.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, my God, I love this. This is like ho, but like classy ho, like pretty woman. And he's like, oh, this is expensive ho, no? Expensive, huh? So then we go to Victoria at work at Chloe Colette. No one has noticed the missing dress yet.
No.
And I looked at this site, the Chloe Colette site, and I wrote the note, they're ballet clothes. Because they are ballet clothes. So then Victoria's like, is Jenny ready for this meeting? Like, are we doing this meeting? So Jenny comes in with her tight smile. She's, oh, so we're waiting on Yohan? Are we waiting on Yohan? Okay. I'm just going to stand here very thinly in a ballet dress and just wait. Okay?
Okay. Well, as far as our samples go, we were supposed to have them last week. So I'm just like really stressing out because we're not She by Sheree, okay?
And so then there's this other girl, Lara, and she's just like, she just hates Victoria. You can just tell. And she's like, well, we're having a party, which means that we need all the samples prior to that. But that's like in a month. And Chan's like,
oh, this is the American girl. Yeah. Is this her? No, this isn't her design.
I don't think she's
sister.
American. I don't think she's American because the older woman who we see later in the scene, they look alike and they have the same last name. So I think this is the daughter of the older woman. So I think she has an American accent, but I am going to infer that she really is French, but with a great American accent. So I was trying to give her.
Oh, you think she's like faking American in France? Do people do that?
Well, I don't think that she's faking American, but I think she might be like Margot, you know, where she's like mostly American, but like little French touches.
She's back in France for some work or whatever.
Yeah. So she's basically saying like, well, you know, we're having a party, which means that like we need all the samples part of that, but like that's in like a month. And Jen is like, okay. Just like Dr. Finkelstein says, deep breaths, deep breaths, deep breaths. Okay, so I need the samples so I can correct things because it's very, very unlikely it's going to be great with the very first product, okay?
So Victoria tells us, we're planning a very incredible event that's going to showcase during Paris Fashion Week. And Jen is still standing there going, anything from Yohan? Okay. I don't want to have to repeat everything I'm about to say because I'm about to say things. And if Yohan's not here, I'm going to have to say them again. So, wow. Look at us just waiting. Isn't this fun, everybody? Look at us waiting. This is great.
And Lara's like, well, I just tried to call him right now. And Jen's like, great. He's not answering. Great. Okay. Well, I'm going to do a what the fuck shrug. Here we go. Just did it.
So Victoria tells us, yeah, I'm head designer and Yohan is in charge of social media and client relations. And since I introduced him to this company, like his work performance is a reflection on me. And if that goes south, I mean, that's where I'm from, the South. And it was traumatizing. And if I have to go back there again, I mean, it's going to be trauma.
And then we go back to Jen saying, okay, so I want him in here. Does anyone know where he is? And then this older woman, Maja, who's like played by Sheree Agdashloo, is like, well, it's, you know, like, well, who looks just like, oh, sorry. I was like reading my notes in her accent. I was like, she looks just like Lara. She goes, well, as we discussed, the models are going to be replaced by ballerinas.
So they're going for ballet looks. Yeah. So weird. It's like a bizarre aesthetic, but you know what? It's cute and it is casual. But I love that they're actually going for that. Because I was like, these are ballet rehearsal clothes.
Make it ballet, but also make a chain belt. Okay, go.
Everything was beautiful. It's a ballet.
Anya. So the older lady, Maja's like, yes, ballerinas. And Victoria's like, did he answer? And Maja's so annoyed because it's like she gets to say one thing a meeting, you know?
I know.
And these young bitches, it's like now it's all waiting for this, you know, guy to show up. And now the girls are just talking about how they're making phone calls. And so Victoria's didn't answer.
Yeah. And Lara just has this evil smile like, no, bitch, your stupid hire is a failure.
And Marge is like, well, glad I tried to say something today in the meeting. I do not know why they pay me here. And Jenny says, like, I just don't understand. Like, it was 3 minutes, 10 minutes ago, and he was supposed to be here. You guys, you know what? This isn't cool. This is not cool. That's what's happening. So let's get some waiting music. Trixie Panamonoclay, could you please play us something? It's like, doom, 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 time, 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 time.
Yeah, because we have a commercial break.
Cutest French music ever.
Yeah, because it was a commercial break, and we come back. They're still waiting, and Jen is like, "Okay, so I want him to be here, so we don't know where he is, right?" And then he like enters in, like no big issue. He's like, "Hello," and then he like just sits down, and Jen's like,
"Oh, sorry, I'm late, but you know, fashionably late."
I know.
She's like, "Oh well, look, you decided to show. Aren't we excited?" So Victoria explains to us that in Paris, work hours are a little more laid back. Like lunch, you can enjoy, and you're gonna get 20 smoke breaks a day, but that doesn't mean you can be late for a meeting. Like a meeting, you have to be on time.
So now Jen's going to pull out the really big passive-aggressive artillery. She's like, okay, so just to be brief, just to brief you, since you decided to be 30 minutes late, we were discussing the party for events, and he's for the event. And he's like, event about what? She goes, and so Lara's like, you know, Lara's like squeezing her mom's hand, like off to the side secretly, like, oh my God. And she's like, you know, the party we're throwing for the launch of the collection, which collection? For
collection of Chloe, what?
Chloe Collette. What is ooh. That? It's where we're, it's what this building is. Which building?
And Jen says, we're discussing the guest list, which we're counting on you for people. Well, the people for the party. There's a party.
His eyes are
the
like,
party we're having.
Why are you saying what? This crazy stuff to me? He's looking at her like she just said, it's true. They can bring dinosaurs back. And we've already lost many people in the city to a velociraptor that's running down the Champs-Élysées. He's like, what?
And Marsha's like, we need a list of 80 people to choose from because we cannot have more than 50 here. So we need some choices. And he goes, 50 or 15? 50 or 51? And she's like, it's going to look impersonal. You know, I want to make it look like home. Who's home?
Oh, no.
Christ.
The sake. Concept. Of home.
Okay.
I don't follow.
I don't get it.
Jen's like, okay. Do you have any people in mind already? He goes, yes, I do. He like gives his face like.
So she's like, okay. He's so pissy with them. I love it. She goes, okay, so let's run a casting for the models then. And he's just swiping on his phone, like with a bitchy face.
And she goes, Joanne. She just stares at him and she just starts, yeah. She just starts pulling on her hair. She's like doing like a Rapunzel. She's like, Joanne. She's like, pull, 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 pull. Yeah, so Joanne.
What? We're going to work okay. on samples and models and a guest list. Joanne.
Eh?
And then they show his cracked screen on his phone, which of course he's got this cracked ass screen. And so Jen, you wouldn't be a villain on Bravo without a cracked screen.
No.
You know? So then Jenny's like, well, before I leave the city, I need to have a guest list. Is that going to work, Joanne? Joanne, stop rolling your eyes at me. You're never going to have a fabric store in the future with an attitude like that.
Okay. Who is
I need
this
less
woman?
Houndstooth from you and more chiffon.
Who is this woman who talks to me? She runs the company. Oh, which company? Chloe Collette. We just told you what it was 2 minutes ago. I don't know.
You're going to have the guest list out? Okay, Joanne? He goes, okay. He gives her like a smile and then he gets up and saunters out all bitchily.
Bitchfully. So then it's after the meeting and they're having like the post-meeting meeting where they talk about what they really think about what happened in the meeting. And so Jen's mm-hmm. like, so everyone's there except for Johan in this room. And she's like, you know, it's like he has no respect. I swear to God. And Lara's like, yeah, he's just kind of like rude.
Oh my God. Madja, did you have lunch already today? Oh, no, that was the door creaking behind you. Oh, yeah, this door just creaks open. Oh, my God, I wish the doors in Paris closed. You know what? It's fine. We need to have a talk about him being on time, though. So someone goes over and takes a heart pillow from the couch and, like, closes the door and then puts the pillow there to keep the door closed, which, hello, brainiacs, that's not really going to work.
That's right? Not going to work. And Jen's like, you know, I knew it was like, you know what? Like, I just knew it was everything that we had to, like, I knew we had to repeat everything we already said. Look, I'm already repeating everything about how I was said. We're going to have to repeat everything we already said because he was late. Okay. This is absolutely not good.
Yeah. Okay. So he's in charge of everything then. And then Yuan comes in. He's like, "Ring! Is there something wrong here?" And they're like, "Oh, no, we're experimenting with pillows on the ground. So that's something awkward."
Because he knows they're talking about him. So he just leaves again with, like, a bitchy face.
She's like, "That was so awkward. Oh, my God. Hey, you guys, do you remember what just happened when I said it was so awkward to that thing that happened before? It was so awkward. Oh, my God. I'm explaining myself three times today for every little thing that happens."
This is my least favorite thing to do.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then we go to Aja and Casey at a cafe together. And that's just so cute. Like, they're always walking hand in hand, being like, "Oh my God, they're in Paris."
They're actually at a cheese shop. They're at a fromagerie. Oh, they're at a cheese shop. Yeah, and they are ordering cheese. And Aja's going to be doing a blush and brush party. And she talks about how she loves a good brunch. Because she's like, back home. Sorry, still catching my breath. I'm doing my self-tape about the metro system. But back at home, I would have, like, 11 people over. I mean, I'd have people over at 11 a.m. and just get them, like, shit-faced, drunk, and blackout, like, while having bacon, egg, and cheeses. And then we just, like, all go to, like, the sex club afterwards. It's just, like, so fun.
Why are you filming yourself on your camera phone? Like, there's cameras here. Why are you walking in place? She's like, you're right. Your phone back away. So Casey's like, "I love French culture and French food. So, like, if I don't get a meeting with the prefecture, I'm gonna go home soon. And then, like, where am I gonna get cheese?" And Audra's like, "Yeah, the biggest difference between shopping for cheese in New York and France are, like, options. Because America, you have, like, Kraft singles. But in Paris, I have so many options. Like, I could have a different cheese every single day." Have you been to a fucking Whole Foods? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, she's like, "I could have different cheese every single day and I still wouldn't be able to come across my favorite until my deathbed." Well, I'm like, well, I'm sure that deathbed would probably be only about, like, 8 weeks, given the amount of cheese you have every day then. But
it's going to be a stinky deathbed. Like, only cheese fed.
She'll know in 2 months, everyone. But
Casey made me cringe the most. Casey wins the cringiest thing to say in the entire episode. She goes, "Oh my God, it's like a California pizza kitchen where you're like, don't stop shredding that cheese." And the ladies at the fromagerie are like, "Oh God, she said California pizza kitchen, did she? Kick her out, get rid of her."
You know, there's a reason why there's no American fast casual restaurants based on French food. Get out. So, I'm starting to suspect Aja's, like, you know, ability to be a good tour guide for us. She's like, the biggest difference between the New York Metro and the French Metro are fonts. And the biggest difference between shopping for cheese is in America, it's Kraft singles, and in France, not Kraft singles. I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm not really learning too much, but I love your enthusiasm.
If you came here to learn, you came to the wrong school, honey. You made a wrong turn somewhere. So Casey goes, "Oh my God, we should walk down the street together. Oh, hey, guess what? You dropped this." And then she puts out her hand, and they hold hands and walk down the street.
It's so cute. But you know that Aja was like, "Oh, I thought I dropped a dildo from the sex club on my street."
So we go to Margot's apartment, and there's a knock at the door, and it's Daphne, her mother. So she's like, "Oh my God, hey mom, come on in. I guess we can sit on the couch." Oh God, Bud peed on the couch. I guess it was like a territorial pee. So I'm doing the covers.
Well, I started to do the covers. I was starting to do it. I had the idea of like, I should clean these, but then I was like, I just don't feel like doing it. So sorry. It's just, the peach is going to have to stay.
I've been really upset because like Bud like made a territorial pee and I'm like, oh my God, even my dog knows what he wants.
Yeah. And she's like, well, you know, like, she's like, well, so like, you want to talk about your projects? And she's like, yeah, I have like a lot of ideas. It's just, it's hard to execute them. Well, you know, laundry is not a hard idea. You know, you could probably do laundry. clean this sofa, okay?
Yeah, but mom, like I said, I'm going to do so many things and I haven't done them. So now I have like anxiety about saying I'm going to do something. Because like if I say something and then don't do them, like what's going to happen? Well, you'll probably still be on pee-stained couch that your father paid for and still be fine. So I don't really understand the anxiety.
You know what I always say when I run out of things to tell my hopeless daughter? I think you're never losing your time when you have ideas. Whether they happen or not, it's good to have ideas. It's good to try to make them happen. And like I always say, you can't pay for your rent with ideas, but you can pay for your rent with other people's money. So there you go.
There's an idea. You can steal it. So Margo's like, yeah, growing up, my mom was like, stay at home. And it's like, if like I came home from school, like there was mom. And then like when I would go to bed, like there's mom, you know, or like if it's time to eat, oh my God, mom's there. But then she divorced dad and then she started a jewelry line. And it's impressive, but like, ouch, my heart. Like, I have such anxiety. I just can't go outside now.
And Margo's like, you know, I just think fear is in my way. It's like, I have like fear. And like, I just have a fear of failure, which is why I don't start anything. So Daphne's like, well, you know, it's so funny. It makes me laugh so much and then cry because I saw you as overly confident as a little girl. And then you have so much anxiety as an adult. And Margo's like, yeah, I was confident until the divorce with dad. So I'm not going to say I blame you for this state of my life, but I'm going to say that's pretty much your fault. Yeah.
It's totally your fault. And what would make me feel better is a business. So get on that, mom. So she basically tells us that her mom wasn't happy, so she left and it hurt her and she sided with her dad because the mom was the one who left. But we all know she sided with her dad because she had the money that was going to pay for this lifestyle she's currently living.
Yeah.
And that created a rift with her mom, so she didn't speak to her mom for a year. But then basically she missed her, but also, her dad cut her down to $2,000 a month from $10,000. So it would help to have another parent that spoke to you.
Diversifying your revenue streams.
Yes.
So Daphne,
see, she thinks.
She thinks. She has good ideas. So Daphne's like, you know, I think I've learned that you're an adult, which is hilarious because you act most like child when you're an adult. But you know what? Yes, I am your mother and I will always be your mother, which means the shame will last my entire life. But you are an adult and I'm not going to tell you what to do because I've tried too much and it is so, so frustrating. So before I was controlling you, you were under my roof and it drove me crazy when you wouldn't do what I would say. And now I do pottery. Controlling clay is so much easier. I've taken pottery class now. And now you can just fail on your own. It's not my problem.
And Margo's like, I've forgiven so much, and so has she. And the mom's like, don't stay in this past. Why do you stay in this past? Move forward. And she's like, well, I don't want to waste any more time. Do you want to play a PlayStation game?
Hold on, I just need to nap in the pee for a second.
So then we go to Emily and Casey, and they're walking through the city with bags and flowers because it's brunch time at Aja's home. So they go to her apartment.
Not quite yet, actually. First, we have Trixie singing, you're right. I thought we were in a different scene, but you're right. We are at brunch.
Yeah, so we're at brunch, and we're at Aja's apartment, which is super cute, and she's cooking, and her friend Jackie's over there helping her. And Jackie's like, oh my God, who's coming? Okay, let me see. I know Casey and Emma. Who else? And she's like, well, there's Emma, and then there's Emily, and they're coming. And oh my God, that looks beautiful, babe. Okay, you know why I picked this group of girls and didn't invite the other hags? Because these girls are drunks. I don't care about the rest of the cast. They're bitches. But these girls are drunks.
And, you know, one thing I really love about this show is you get to see how just, like, horrifically small these apartments are in Paris. Because Aja is, like, she's, like, literally living in a belfry or something. There's like beams, like support beams that she has to like navigate around to get into her kitchen. And it's like just so small. And so people are coming over, and
it's like that little coffin I lived in Brooklyn. I've lived in so many tiny places. Like I couldn't stand up in my bedroom. It was the coffin closet over the bathroom.
Yeah, my friend who lived in Paris, remember I said how I stayed with her. She lived on the top floor, and like in a lot of those old buildings, the top floor is where the help lived. And so they had these shitty, tiny, like little spaces where, you know, that's where the roof starts to come in, which sounds like it's almost like what you went through. And like it's like half the, apartment is just like roof.
Yeah.
It's like angled roof.
Yeah. So Emily comes, and she's like, oh my God, it's so good to see you. Oh my God. You know what? Honestly, can I tell you honestly something? I'm diving right into charcuterie because like I'm like charcuterie master. So
it's like, great. It's like not a novelty in France, but fine. So then Aja's like, she's like, well, I made a quiche, guys. Well, I used to hate quiche, and I'm still not a big fan of quiche, so maybe I still hate quiche. So I'm just going to focus on the cheese board. I'm like, you're not going to fit in at Sonia Raquel. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. So they do their blush and brush, and Aja explains it. She goes, you know, I really love like a paint and sip, so I'm hosting a blush and brush, because blush from the alcohol and brush from the painting. But yet we get it.
We get it. We got it.
We get it.
We got okay. It like three scenes ago when you said it. We figured it. It's like, oh, wait. So wait, I thought for a moment it's like you brush your hair until you get embarrassed and blush.
Someone just says really mean things to you that embarrass you in public while you brush your hair.
Which I would also go to. Also, by the way, let's not overlook that Victoria has a really annoying way of walking into social things. She's like,
she does. She really does. She does that.
Hi. Oh, my God. Hi. You look so cute.
Oh, my God. Hi. I don't know why I'm crying.
Cute. What are you wearing?
But her personality is not like that at all.
No, but that's just how she leads. It's strange.
Yeah.
So they're doing
every scene.
Yeah. So they're doing like arts and crafts. They never eat the quiche, by the way. I really wanted to hear some feedback about the quiche because I thought it looked quite good, to be honest. And they're doing like Aja's doing like pressing a stamp in or something. And she's like, I'm feeling so arts, but like also like so arty, but like also this is like a workout. And Emily's like, yeah, this really is a workout. And Aja's like, do you want to feel how firm my ass is from all that working out? At which point, this opens the door for Emily and Victoria to be obnoxious about their bodies.
Yeah, Emily goes, I don't have an ass. And Victoria's all, yeah, I'm like a stick, like literally a stick. Okay, I'm like the stick of a stick. Like even a stick would be like, oh my God, you are so skinny. And Emily's like, yeah, like I'm so skinny, but like guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to gym. I am not going to work out.
Yeah, and I can't work out either because the gyms are like humans only, not actual sticks, but I'm like a stick, so I can't even work out. Oh my God, isn't it funny how we're like naturally thin without working out? Yeah,
one time I was going to work out at the gym and I went in and I was like, I want to sign up for your gym. And they were like, sorry, we can't even see you because you're so thin. Like you're too light to sign up. Sorry.
So Aja's like, wow, so you guys just look like this? And Emily's like, hey, Aja, where's your fromagerie? Is it the one at Rampito? The Rampito one? It's the best one. I love the Rampito fromagerie. You know, Aja's like, that's my fromagerie, and you are not allowed to claim it. Find your own one.
How dare you make it to my sex shop
fromagerie. So they do like a quiche cheers.
Oh, so they do eat the quiche. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. They do.
So then,
by the way, also, can we talk about how dark this apartment is for brunch? It is so dark. I was like, this poor girl, like, does she have like a porthole for a window in there? I was like, oh, it is dark.
Oh my God, this looked like a luxury apartment to me. God, we've had very different experiences in apartments. I'm like, wow, are you a Rockefeller? This is amazing. Look at all the wood. It's like the beams of the building, you know, and the roof.
Like Quasimodo is just like
natural wood.
Quasimodo's like climbing up the beam to get to the bell on top.
He's like, I won't work out either. I'm just like, well, you I get. Okay, you I get Quasi.
Do you go to the fromagerie on Rambuteau? Oh my God, you too?
Can I have one fucking secret? So Margo and Anya aren't there, which is rude.
They don't day drink. They don't day
very
drink.
Very rude. Well, still, I mean, come on. Anya had you to her little dinner thing. I mean, maybe they were invited and just couldn't come.
But or in Margo's case, she had the idea of going, but couldn't quite really execute it.
She didn't want to fail at eating quiche, so she didn't come. So Emma says, so you're a designer, Victoria, right? And Victoria's like, yeah, I was like here 3 years for school, but like I'm from Texas, so it was like school but also traumatic. And Emily's like, wait, so you did undergrad here? Babe, I need to talk to you about this. Like, I need to like learn from you. And Victoria says, baby, I can teach you whatever you need.
Yeah, she has a lot of babe here. A lot of babe before she finds out that Emily is like a totally privileged person. So she's like,
yeah, she's doing her like fakey, like we're best friends. So she's like, whatever you need, babe. So Emily says, basically, here's what happened. Like, basically, a family friend offered me this position at one of his like design companies. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Sonia Raquel. You just see it echoing in Victoria's mind. And she's like, oh my God, yes, of like, course. Congratulations, babe.
I'm going to say in a tone like, I'm going to say congratulations, but my tone will be like, you fucking privileged ass. Like, you don't even deserve this internship. And you're an intern. Wow, babe. Wow, that's a really hard internship to land, babe. Wow.
Yeah, because like, it's like a whole rebrand of like the collection. It's crazy, but like to prove myself, I can't just be like, look, I'm here.
I just can't wait to see what sort of tires they make. Babe, it's a fashion thing. You don't even know what they do. You think they're a tire maker. Wow, babe, so happy you got this thing.
Well, they do have a Firestone in the cast.
That's true.
I was really hoping that Anya was going to be from the Firestone tire family, but no. So I love also that Emily's talking about she's being hired to do a rebrand. You were just doing gift bags and taking selfies with influencers, okay?
Pamphlets on a table.
So Victoria's like, yeah, well, I did. That's how I showed up. I was like, hi, I'm here. I mean, I was a buyer's assistant. I was going from Dallas to LA every 2 weeks while I was in school. Like, I literally had to learn everything myself. No one showed me the ropes. So that's just how you do it.
She's like, I mean, someone who's worked as hard as I have, there's just like always wealthier kids or kids with more connections that just like these things just like fall into their lap. And then Emily's like, well, I'm only in it for the business side, but it's a lot. I'm like really overwhelmed. Victoria's like, she's just sort of like giving rage eyes. Like, that's great, babe.
She is. And she's also got the cat eye makeup on today, which is not helping because she's trying not to give evil eye, but she hates her. And I don't blame her, really. I think it's natural because Emily is just making it. Emily gets more obnoxious about it as they go. Right?
Yeah, because I think the thing is that, like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think the thing that really makes it frustrating is it'd be one thing if Emily had an interest, and, you know, she had a family connection and she was able to get in there, but like, she doesn't, this isn't something she's ever professed any interest in. And it literally came her way. She's like, sure, I'll do it. I don't really care, but I'll say that I care and I'll just see what happens. And it's like this prestigious internship. It's like,
and she keeps saying over and over, like, I don't even want to be in it. Like, I don't even want to be in fashion. And like, look, like I'm in fashion, so like I guess I'll do it, but God, I really don't want to be in fashion. And Victoria's like, I'm gonna kill this bitch, right?
So I was just like, I'm so proud of you, babe. I'm so proud. And Emily's like, yeah, because, like, I don't even know what I'm doing. And, like, as an American, like, I'm going to be in an office with French speakers. Victoria's like, well, yeah, but, like, it doesn't matter what you do or where you came from. You have to start somewhere, unless you're rich, of course. And then you can be you. And just congratulations. By next month, you'll be running the company. So that's great.
Okay. She's like, yeah, well, we got to wear an evil eye because there's going to be a lot of envy surrounding us, right? Victoria's just staring at her like, die. Just die. Die right now.
Yeah, because Victoria's like, yeah, but, you know, you're going to deal with some jealous people and they're going to brag about all the things that they've done to get there. You know, so you have to be. And I like the insinuation is like, they've worked to get there and you haven't. So you're going to have to deal with people being pissed off at you, right? Yeah. And Emily takes it as like, yeah, because like we're an evil eye because everybody's going to be envious. And that's like how it is for all of us, right? Like all of us. And she's just looking at her like, die in your fucking sleep.
Yeah. So now we go to a department store with Anya and Aja. And Aja has decided that she wants to get a new job because they stuck her in cookware and she's supposed to be in beauty at her e-commerce, you know, business company. So she's going to shop for some interview pieces with Anya. So they're like shopping and they're like trying on some like red things and yellow things, like ketchup and mustard. And Anya's like, oh, this is cute. I think that you should do this. It's slightly matronly, but that's also sort of my style. As long as it makes you look like you're in the 50 plus category of any sort of demographic, I think it's hot.
Yeah, this relationship's funny because they're so opposite. And I was just like, well, I don't think it's cute, but I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, I love matronly. So,
and then Aja explains to us, in our friend group, there are like two sides. There's the side that comes from money and they don't have to work and they have a safety net. And then there's me and there's Anya and there's Victoria who have to work. And we have to like find careers that are fulfilling financially, emotionally, sex clubbily, like fromagerily.
Keisha-ly.
I mean, Keisha-ly, yeah. I don't measure, by the way. And Aja's like, yeah. It's e-commerce, so, like, they wouldn't force me to come back to America right away, but, like, I'd really need to find a new job, so.
By the way, this reminds me, this is, like, there was a central divide in Gallery Girls, too. There was, like, Brooklyn and Manhattan, and you had, like, the snotty Manhattan girls who just, like, were from wealthy families, and then you had the snotty Brooklyn girls who were not from wealthy families but hated the girls who were from the wealthy families, and the wealthy families hated the hipsteriness of the Brooklyn girls. So we are sort of seeing some good parallels.
Oh, classism, the old standby. Always works. Works every time.
Yeah.
So Aja's like, you know, how's it going with you and Matthew? And she's like, well, you know, it's really hard for Matthew because, like, look, if we met at a dive bar, I would have the wedding at the dive bar. But we met at the Ritz, so that's where we have to have the wedding, you know? God, I'm so glad we didn't meet in a bathroom. Wouldn't that be awkward? God, that would be just terrible.
I'm glad we didn't meet with me trying to buy a watch from him because that would be a difficult situation.
You really can't keep a job selling watches.
I don't know. I don't know if Anya knows that she's not beholden to the place where you met someone to have like the the wedding. It would be. I mean, that would be a lot of back alley weddings for the gay community. I'll tell you that much.
I know gay weddings are legal, and suddenly we have to have street cleaners, you know, go up and down the alleyways.
So Anya is telling us about her business thing. She's like, I want to focus on my business. It's called Maison Firestone. I don't know. People may not realize this. Maison means house. And Firestone means Firestone. So anyway, I want to do private house parties showcasing art and fashion at a home. And when you come to one of my events, everything you taste, see, try on, put in your mouth, touch with your fingers, poop in, that's for sale, including the home.
You know, you're living in a time of human trafficking. It seems like a bad idea to tell everybody, come to my party. Everything you see is for sale. So they try on red and yellow, like the mustard and ketchup. And Anya's like, oh my God, hot dog party. Want to share my... And Anya's like, yeah, want to share my dressing room? You've seen my titties enough. So they go in and they try on clothes together. And Anya's is too big. And Anya says, yeah, and it's too costumey. She goes, I'm not costumey enough, you mean?
Yeah. So then we go to Victoria and Emily going to, they're going to go have a, like a tension filled drink together where they're going to pretend to be besties, but Victoria's still going to be really pissed at Emily. So, they're walked to this place and Victoria's like, honestly, I'm like so excited, babe. Like, this is going to be so much fun. Like, oh my God, I've just been like, I'm so excited to drink this wine, eat this cheese. I've been starving myself all day for it. Some would say I've been working my way up to this moment that we're about to have.
Emily's like, oh my God, I didn't really even need wine, but here we are. It's like just going to be poured for me. Like multiple wines.
I meant to actually have a Diet Coke, but here we are. Just going to have something more expensive and more luxe.
More of a beer person, but here we are. So, oh my God, it's like you knew that the cheese queen is coming. Look, they've got cheese here. Oh my God, can I tell you, waiter lady, I love cheese.
She's like, oh God, for fuck's sake. Okay, this is Chardonnay from Burgundy. The color is very clear. Look at it. It's yellow, but it's also gold. Just shake it. Shake it, you fucking idiot. Okay, now smell it. Smell it. Okay, smell now like tell me what you think.
Yeah,
we call this my piece. Okay, we call this my piece.
Oh, really? Somehow my glass was filled with Dom Perignon. How did that happen? Victoria's like, God damn it.
That was literally piss. She wasn't kidding.
I love Emily walking into this thing with the cheese thing there, and she's saying it's like they knew the cheese queen was coming, as if that's not like the go-to snack. That's like the Ritz cracker of France.
That's Jeez. What I was saying at the beginning. It's these the thing that makes me laugh the most is that they're like, wow, you know what I love? Cheese. I think it's the funniest running thing in this show. Like, you're in fucking France, you guys. Okay.
It's like going it's like going to a restaurant and they pour the tap water and they say, oh wow, it's like they knew the water queen was here. It's like, yeah, it's pretty standard.
So the lady's like, how do you like my piece? And Emily goes, it smells fruity.
She goes, oh, which kind of fruit?
Grapes.
This lady looks at Victoria and she goes, this who you bring to my store? So
let's see. Away. So yeah, so they start talking and Victoria's like, so like, do you feel conflicted at all that you're about to go on this unearned journey? Like, how's that feeling for you, babe?
Because babe, weren't you, it's funny because I know you were interested in interior design. Notice that I'm saying this as a reminder of how fickle you are. Like, so now you're doing fashion. So are you conflicted that you're doing fashion instead of the interior design that you claimed you'd like to do, babe?
Yeah, because like in my mind, I had to stay in interior design, even though I really haven't done shit for that either, but my mom does. But then like fashion fell into my lap and like, it's just like so much different than I planned. And Victoria's like, yeah, so she's lucky. And I really had to work, you know, it's more the same thing. Like I had to work hard. And she's like, well, but you really, like it's helpful to learn both, even if you end up in, you know, interior, because you can go to fashion brands and then you can suggest that they do a home section.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to listen to that advice because, you know, people will say I got it easy and it was just handed to me, but they're just jealous because like nothing is handed to you unless you actually go and prove yourself. And by prove yourself, just put out some brochures. So I have a lot of work to do.
I mean, yes, you still have to, you're given the opportunity and you have to prove yourself, but the door is open, you know? People are just used to doors opening, don't understand how that works, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what? You go in the room and you still have to prove yourself? You have to get in the room, lady.
How do we think that, you know, the other one and the other one wound up being on billboards, okay?
Yeah.
It's Amen. Because of that. Amen.
So then Emily's like, anyway, like enough about like how amazing my life is. How is actually like working for a living? That sounds gross. And Victoria's like, yeah, well, I'm really trying to balance work and home, basically. Well, why? Because like, is everyone there like French speaking? Do you have to like speak French?
Is it like, are you like in a situation where you're working so hard you forget to get toilet paper and you got to ask your Norwegian neighbor for some? She's like, actually, yeah. So, but anyway, like my friend Johan, like he's just like not working well. And so Emily's like, oh, Johan, he works with you? Casey told me he's your stylist. And so Victoria's like, huh, Wow, babe.
Victoria gets so pissed. Babe. I mean, her eyes turn like black and red, like a cartoon. Yes. Steam starts coming out of her nose. She gets so mad. And Emily's like, Joanne, right? I mean, did I say something wrong? I just said Joanne. I mean, it is kind of a funny name, you know, Y at the beginning. I don't know why you're mad about it. Do you not like Ys? What's wrong with you?
Victoria's like, ding, 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 ding. Like Evil Blink, not Teresa Blink. It's like, dong, dong, dong,
dong. So she's like, what do you mean? He's her stylist, babe. She's like, well, I didn't, would I say something wrong? Well, he works for Chloe Collette, and he's like one of my friends for many, many years. And she tells us, I don't know if he's being shady, like styling Casey behind my back, but I guess the shock is that, like, I didn't hear it from Joanne. I'm hearing it from fucking interior design cheese girl.
Cheese queen. So then, so now we see some quick shots, like fun stuff. Like Casey and Ajar make like little, like sort of like pepperoni, like snackable kind of things. Like little, they just make like a really like shitty snack meal. And then Victoria goes over to Margot's apartment. And Margot's like, hey, welcome in. Like, we can sit on the couch first and then we'll have wine. Oh my God. I kind of just came up with like an action plan for myself. Pretty cool.
I know. I noticed that too. It's like, we'll sit on the couch first. And then after that, we're going to have wine after that. But it's like, actually, wow, good plan. You're doing it.
But then they actually go directly to the wine, which shows that she couldn't even stick to that plan.
Yeah. So they cheers and everything. And Victoria says that like they were like preteens the second they met. They were like jamming out to music and dancing and just like being girls. So then Margot's like, yeah, like I've been okay. I mean, I've been all over the place with my business idea, but like I'm going to get more serious because like I have more vision, which like terrifies me. But like I'm going to work on that because I'm excited. Like, hold on. Let me get my excited voice. I'm excited.
I had an idea. Dog pee removal service. I think it'd be really useful.
So, but I wanted to tell you, Joanne slipped into my DMs recently, like twice now. Let me read them. Okay. So Victoria told me you needed a stylist. You just found one, bitch. My rate starts at 1K, bitch. I can get clothes for you, whore, but you're not famous, bitch. So you have to pay, bitch. Like, I know he's your friend, and I know that friends are complicated and layer, but he wants me to pay 1K and called me a bitch 10 times. Yeah. So,
like, he's willing to do it for other girls for free, but like, Casey and or like you, but like because of like what? Like I don't have a job and he knows my dad is paying for my rent. Is that why? It's like, yep, that's how hangers-on work. So Victoria's like, that like actually rubs me like such the wrong way. Like that, like I'm like rubbed in such a like I'm like a genie lamp that won't open. Like I'm rubbed such the wrong way. And she's like, you know, there's like all these issues with him at work and there's like complaints with him, like not doing his duties. And like, he shouldn't be taking on other jobs if like you have a job that you're like not fulfilling.
Yeah. And like, I love him, but like, there have been like so many times when I'm like so done with him. Like when he reached out to Casey, like Emily brought that up the other day and I was literally like, what, Lily? And like, I feel like he sees you as this rich girl he can use. And the fact that I've now brought you into my circle and now you're trying to use my friends for your own personal gain, that is fucked up to me. And Margo's like, don't cry, babe.
Here's a tissue. What tissue? Sorry, it was an idea I had, but I didn't really follow through with that.
I didn't follow through. And now I'm terrified.
Margot's like, honestly, I would have kicked him to the curb a while ago. Well, I would have had the idea to do that, but that's just me. And just like, I just like hope Joanne isn't just like using you for clout, because honestly, I see red flags. Okay, like you guys need to have a conversation. Like he's being messy at work with you and your friends. And from my perspective, I wouldn't trust him for you at all.
Dun, dun, dun. So now we're going to have problems with Joanne. The trouble with Joanne. Next episode.
Yeah. Big Joanne drama on the horizon. I think Victoria throws some wine in his face. I'm like really looking forward to it.
Yeah, so I like the show. I hope people give it a chance because this got a long road to hoe being at 0.1 in the ratings. So come on, guys. Give it a go. See if you like it. The first couple episodes are a little slow, but I think it's definitely finding its groove. So
it's 100% finding its groove. It's really funny. And don't let this be another one of those Bravo gems. Well, I don't want to say gem, but don't let this be one of those Bravo shows that were like, actually, that show was really good. I kind of miss it. Like, we've had too many of those, okay? Come on.
Live in the present. Enjoy what we have in the present.
Yeah. Okay?
So thanks, everybody, so much for being here. We'll be back tomorrow with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, okay?
All right, everyone. Bye. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, it's Jennifer Corcoran.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Capsewell.
Paging Paige Mills, paging Paige Mills.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.